following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, where it's our weekly visit with Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Housley. Josh, welcome back. How are things going?
Yeah, things are going well.
You know, I hope stretching out of the season. We're in February, and seems like it was yesterday we just got the season going.
I know, it's crazy how quick it goes.
Yeah, so, well, it was a tough but good weekend for the Garnet Chargers last weekend. It started with a 3-3 tie against Yale on Friday. Both teams earned a point for the tie. A shootout was needed to decide who would get the extra point, and Union came away with a 2-1 win in the shootout. And then on Saturday, Union jumps out to a 2-0 lead against Brown. And then the team has to hang on for dear life in the third period to pull out a 2-1 win. What are your general thoughts on the weekend?
You know, at this time of the year, it's just, you know, banking points and trying to, you know, win as many games as you can. I thought there were some definite positives. You know, obviously, didn't love the first 10 minutes and probably the last 10 minutes of the weekend.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the Yale game. And we talked last week, probably ad nauseum, you're probably sick of me talking about it, but the importance of avoiding a slow start, which had been the case in the previous three games. And unfortunately, Union got off to another slow start. Yale takes advantage. William Dineen scores 3:04 into the game, and Micah Berger got a power play goal less than 9 minutes later to give the Bulldogs a 2-0 lead. I mean, that had to be frustrating when you know that you wanted to avoid the slow start, yet it happened again.
You know, I think that it's just you talk about it and you maybe build a little too much of it, and it gets in everybody's head. You know, so we've been trying to, you know, practice fast from the start, and you know, for us, we just gotta, you know, put it past us. But yeah, you can't keep doing that.
Yeah, well, it was a flip of the script from the last month's game against Yale in New Haven, when Union jumped out to a 2-0 lead, lost it, and then won 4-3. So shortly after Berger's goal, Drew Sutton scored to get Union on the board, and a couple of minutes later, Nate Hanley ties it. So you had to feel good going into the first intermission, tied at 2, when the game really could have gotten away from you.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have the slow start, but the guys battle back and find a way to get it even. And, you know, we feel like, you know, we have a pretty good team. And if we can keep going there, you know, we should run away with it at that point.
Yeah, Union asserted itself and dominated the second period, out shooting Yale 11-5. Unfortunately, a fluky play led to a go-ahead goal for Yale late in the period. Union defenseman Nick Young was trying to send the puck up the ice from the left circle in the Union zone. And unfortunately for Young, the puck hit the back of the left skate of referee Cameron Lynch. Yale was able to corral the puck, and Ronan O'Donnell scored to give Yale a 3-2 lead after two. I guess it's just an unfortunate play in a turn of events.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And I mean, these refs have, like, it's a tough job, and they got to try to, you know, make the right calls while staying out of the way. And, you know, we turn and fire one up where, you know, maybe we take an extra half second and, you know, corral it. But, you know, again, it's a fast paced game, and things are going to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, man, I'm old school hockey. I remember when the glass was low and the officials were able to climb up and get out of the way. Now it's impossible. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's impossible for the officials to get out of the way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, every day at practice, I feel like I'm a magnet to, like, pucks and how hard it is to stay out of the way when you're dropping them or, you know, just in the middle of practice. So for those guys that they got to do it for 60 minutes when the guys are, you know, playing physical and playing hard, it's tough.
Yeah. When I initially saw the play, it was right below me then at the press box. I thought Nick didn't get enough momentum when he was clearing the puck, and it was when I saw the replay that I realized it was a fluke play with the puck hitting the skate. Did you say anything to Nick during the intermission?
No, not really. I mean, he's you know, he's a pretty mentally strong individual, and just kind of gave him a pat on the shoulder. And, you know, we want him to have the puck, and, you know, we want him to make simple, hard plays, and he typically does that for us all the time.
Yeah. Well, just like in the second period, Union dominates Yale in the third, out shooting them 16-5. And a little over 3 minutes into the third, the Garnet Chargers tie it. Caden Viegas is at the top of the right circle, and he sees Cullen Ferguson coming to the left circle from the left point. Viegas hits Ferguson with a pass, and Cullen fires it home to tie it at 3. I mean, how good was that play?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable pass, and, you know, Cullen put himself in a really good spot by jumping their winger's shoulder, and he made no mistake about it. It was a really nice goal, and at that point, you feel like you're in a really good spot.
It was almost a similar play to the previous week when Joseph Mussina spotted Ferguson coming down that left side.
Yeah, you know, we want to try to get our D involved in the offense, and you know, that gives us the ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, Union had some golden opportunities after the Ferguson goal, but Yale goalie Jack Stark kept the puck out of the net. Was frustration setting in, or was just Stark just playing that well?
I mean, you got to give him credit. He did a great job in their team defense. You know, they collapsed and they blocked a lot of shots and they protected the net front, and we were right there. We just couldn't get one by them, and you know, it felt like we deserved to get one, but at the end of the day, we didn't.
Yeah. Well, the game heads to overtime, and Union goalie Kyle Chauvet makes a key save in the first minute of OT. Union had a couple of chances to score, but neither team does score, so we go to the shootout. The first in conference play this season, Yale takes a 1-0 lead after round one, but then Chauvet stops the next two shots, and then Nate Hanley and Brandon Burr score to give Union that extra point. That'd feel good.
No, it was a good one, exciting, and you know, for us, it was weird with you know, Carter Corpy being injured and not being a part of it. He's always been our, you know, our leadoff hitter for that. Like, we always, you know, think that if he's going to score. So it was good for, you know, Brandon to get that opportunity, and he made a nice play with.
Yeah, I mean, you usually keep the shooters the same. Is that just a superstition or anything?
Well, I kind of like I said, I think Carter's almost automatic, you know, so like if you can get the lead, you definitely want to get it, and Nate's pretty good under pressure, so if, you know, try to save him for that spot. You know, Brandon is somebody that we always wanted to get, we want to get in if we have a chance to, and then you know, also we have Ben that, you know, if we want a shooter, we're probably going to go with Ben. So we have some, you know, different guys we can use in that spot.
Well, let's hear what Colin Ferguson, Kyle Chauvet, and Brandon Burr had to say after the game.
Well, guys, it wasn't a three-point night, but a two-point night. So, I mean, how happy are you to get the two and, you know, have some, you know, still have a shot here at the first-round bye?
Yeah, I mean, points are hard to come by at this point in the season. So you want to be happy about it. But at the end of the day, I think we can do better, and we want those three. So just get back to the drawing board, you know, enjoy it, but move on now.
Kyle? Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's frustrating not to get the 3 points. Like, obviously, it's going to be a tight race down to the end to try to get that by. But, I mean, to get two at least, like, we're happy with getting any points in this league. It's tough, so.
Brandon? Yeah, I agree with both of them. Like, obviously, two is good, but three would have been a lot better. I think we played well enough to get three, but just need to find a way to get them back in the net.
Well, unfortunately, it's another slow start, down 2-0 in the first period. What was the mood like on the bench?
I think it was fine. We just keep positive, saying we're going to get this back, and eventually we did, and it worked out.
Yeah. You know, Sutton and Hanley score there to tie it there. So how good are you guys feeling going into the locker room after the first period?
Yeah, it was huge. You hate to see that you hurt yourself, put yourself in a hole, but it was huge that we, you know, got ourselves out of it. I think we have a resilient team, and we showed that. We just need to make sure that we don't dig ourselves that hole when we get even later in the season, because it's going to be even tougher to get out of.
Kyle, that third Yale goal is a sort of fluky play. Nick's trying to clear the puck. It's the back of referee Cameron Lynch's left skate, and then there's chaos ensues there, and they get the tie or get the go-ahead goal.
Yeah.
I mean, how frustrating was that? Because that was a period you guys were dominated and, you know, had some good chances, and you're down 3-2 after two.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I was trying to find the puck through the pile and kind of lost it. So I was trying to get up, and as soon as I got up to look for it, it like was already on the way, so it was kind of tough. But I mean, obviously, I want to try to like make as many saves for this team, especially when we're playing that well. So.
Yeah, so I was going to say you were getting up and that you lifted your pad there. That's how it got in.
Yeah,
yeah. So Brandon, third period, what's the move? What do you have to do in the third period to get the tying goal, or at least try to get a couple more goals?
Just stick to our plan. We knew we had to come out hard. They were going to defend that lead, and you know they really want those points too. So just get the pucks on net, and it was get to the inside, and I think we did that pretty well.
Colin, you end up getting the tying goal there. You know, it looks like Caden reads you coming down from the left point. You talk about that play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happened a couple times throughout the game where the winger was sitting on me and he didn't realize if I went behind him. So it happened a couple times. And then Vegas made an unreal play to feather through there. I mean, not a lot of guys can make that pass. Like, it's impressive. And then I just can walk in and shoot from there.
You guys had a lot of chances in that third period. Just couldn't seem to get that go-ahead goal. I mean, Was Stark playing that well, or just some frustrating moments there?
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, I wouldn't say frustrated. I think Stark played well. There's a couple posts that we hit a couple times. The puck was sitting on the goal line, but that's hockey. You can't control that. You just got to worry about yourself and your next shift.
Yeah. And then the overtime, Kyle, you make a save there on a partial break. We go to the shootout, then Yale scores first. What was your mindset after that when you had to face two more shots?
I was confident. Like, I was confident in our guys. I know that we're going to bury in the shootouts, and I knew I was going to go back and try to make those next two saves. So I wasn't down at all. I was just confident we were going to win it.
And you did end up making those saves. How good did that feel?
Yeah, it felt good. And, I'm pumped that Hanley and Bersey were able to bury as well. So that was huge.
Yeah, Brandon, talk about that goal, that shootout goal there. Talk about the move you made.
I don't know. I kind of done that move for a long time, as long as I can remember. I just kind of forehand, back and forehand. I don't know. It just kind of comes to me, I guess.
What did you see there?
The goalie was kind of out pretty far, so gave him a little pump fake, went to the back end. As soon as he slid, just cut back and was able to slide it in.
So you got Brown coming in Saturday. They end up winning 6-5 in overtime at RPI. This is a team that's been on a roll since the last time you saw them. I think it's 5 in a row now they won. So, I mean, how important will be to get ready for them try to get 3 points on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I just told the boys that we got to turn the page. It was nice to get the points for tonight, but we have to focus on Brown. They're a hot team, and they're going to be ready to come out hot. They're going to ride on their momentum. So we need to come out hot. We don't have a choice tomorrow.
Yeah, because you just gave up the goal, but they scored 16 goals in the last three games.
Yeah. So I mean, we got shoved. So I'm confident in the guy, and I'm confident in our offense to score.
Let's move on to the Saturday's game against Brown. Union beat the Bears 3-1 last month in Providence, but the Brown team coming to Union was on a 5-game winning streak, which included a 6-5 overtime win over RPI on Friday. What was the message heading into the game?
Just, they really have, two lines that do a lot of scoring for them. Pretty talented D-core where they have two guys that play roughly, 30 minutes a night for them. So we wanted to make sure we were hard on those guys, and if we had a chance to bump them, that we did that. And really just how well they've been playing. They again have been producing at a really high clip. They hadn't scored a bunch, but in the last five games they really were producing big numbers.
Yeah, because I'm not used to seeing a Brown team scoring 5 goals in consecutive games and put up a 6 spot against RPI, although the game they had a 5-2 lead and they blew that one. But that just seemed to they seem to get. We'll talk a little more Brown in just a little bit. Union got off to a good start. They're grabbing a 1-0 lead on a Caden Viegas goal in the first period. It took a while for that goal to be called a goal. Colby McArthur sent the puck to the net, and Viegas made a nice redirection. It was initially ruled no goal, but the refs decided to take a look at it. Meanwhile, you go back to the locker room to check the video. It took a few minutes, but the call was reversed and the goal counted. How happy were you?
Extremely happy. And it was, honestly, it was really close. So for us to get that call was great. And I mean, you can definitely see the space, but see that white ice, but it there wasn't a bunch of it.
Yeah. Well, right now you're not allowed to have iPads on the bench so that you can review plays. I mean, is it time to allow iPads on the bench?
I think we're getting pretty close. I mean, it's a spot where technology is, it's available for everybody. And, it'd be nice to, when you're making these challenges, know what you're challenging and not just trusting someone in the another room.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Burr scores on the power play in the second period to make it 2-0, and it appears Union is in control, but knowing Brown's reputation, nothing comes easy, and it certainly did not in the third period. The game's momentum turned when Zachary Tinelli, the son of New York Islanders great John Tinelli, who I still hate for setting up Bob Nyström's overtime going to 1980 Stanley Cup Finals, but I digress. he scores a shorthanded goal midway through the third period to make it a 1-goal game. Then Union ran into penalty problems, taking 5 penalties in the period. Brown is doing everything trying to score, but the play of Kyle Chauvet kept Brown from scoring, and Union escapes with the win. How critical was Kyle's play in that stretch?
Yeah, when we needed him, he was there, and he made a couple big time saves in the last 3 or 4 minutes that they were putting us to the test, and with the extra attacker, a little nerve wracking, but yeah, he was there for us.
Yeah, the penalty kill was excellent in the game, going 7-for-7. Of course, you don't really want to go 7-for-7 in a game like that. The penalty kill, which was one of the best in the nation last season, struggled in the first half of this season, but it seems to have turned the corner. What has been the key?
Yeah, I think that the guys have really started to buy in. I think that the development of Lucas Buziol and Riley Brewick as penalty killers up front has been really important for us. And again, I give Coach Zanella some credit. with just some different ideas to, really try to elevate it. And, I kind of mentioned this to you, but, you know, when you're in the head coach role and you're running the penalty kill, I think that I overlooked it at times, just trying to make sure our 5-on-5 play was, where it needed to be. And so I got to take some responsibility and make sure that I, pass that off and give the credit where it's due.
Well, how important will it be down the stretch here for the team to not run into penalty trouble like that? You don't want to take 5 penalties in a period, 7 in a game, have to try to kill all 7.
Yeah, I mean, we had been pretty disciplined, at least nationally, as far as where we fit in with penalty minutes taken. But, if you want to play, as long as you can, you can't be putting yourselves in those spots. And I thought there was, some unnecessary stick penalties we took.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from post-game press conference from Kenny Villegas, Kyle Chauvet, and John Prokop.
Kyle, can you kind of describe the crazy, scrambly, hectic final minutes? And, you had PKs all over the place, and they pulled their goalie, and just kind of what you were seeing out there from your defense, but also
your
part of it.
Yeah, no, for starters, we blocked a lot of shots, and that was huge. I think the guys really sold out and competed hard in front of me, and we're battling just to do anything to keep the puck out of the net. And on my end, too, my mindset was just compete and just do whatever it took to get the win. So even though it got hectic, I was just trying to focus on one shot at a time and just focus on being in the present and competing all the way.
How big was the PK tonight? You kill all 7, including 5 in the third period. What can you say about the PK tonight?
Yeah, I mean, again, huge credit to all the guys on the PK. They were blocking a ton of shots, selling out. I thought we stuck to our structure well and really didn't give up too much on the PK. So I thought we did a great job on that.
John?
Yeah, I thought our PK showed up big time, and it won us a hockey game too. So,
How big has the PK been like? Because it struggled early on in the season, but it seems to have been – I know you gave up one last night against Yale, but it seems like the PK has been getting better as the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's our goal to get better each game, and I think our PK has taken a big step. And, it'll win you hockey games down the road, and you need that going – into the playoffs. So,
Caden, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, guys are buying into the detail in practice, and it's showing up in the games. We have good sticks everywhere. The guys are getting big, blocking a lot of shots, so it's paying dividends.
John, are there two sides to that coin with the PK? Because, you were 7-for-7, but you also facing it 7 times.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be more disciplined at the end of the day, but, when your PK comes through like that, you're going to win a lot of hockey games, so.
Caden, can you walk us through your goal a little bit? And you had kind of endure an eternity on the bench waiting for them to figure out if it was good or not.
Yeah.
Just how the play developed, but then also the experience of sitting there waiting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good play out of Mac, getting it towards the net, and then the goalie rimmed it. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So I put it on my tape, and I got a lucky deflection on it. And couldn't tell if it went in or not, but I thought so from reactions or whatever. But yeah, I mean, can't really do anything about it, whether it's a goal or not. So you get on the bench, you just kind of refocus, and hopefully it is. But if it isn't, you just get back to work,
Is a 5-point out of 6-point weekend for you guys, Caden, put you in a good spot. We obviously, early game's going on tonight, so by the time this airs, you won't know where you're at. But how important was it to get at least 5 points and solidify your position, at least for home ice in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Obviously, our conference, the top 6 teams are super tight right now, so you got to get as many as you can and every weekend. So that's just why each game is so important right now, especially for us seniors. We're kind of harping on how important each game is, each period, each shift, and you can't take any off any of these nights, especially our first periods. I thought today we did really well. We were dialed, came into the game, came out to a lead, so we just need that going forward because each game matters so much.
Yeah, I agree. Points are hard to come by in this league, and I think we're obviously really happy to get 5 on the weekend. We wanted 6, but to get 5 on the weekend's huge, and we really want to fight for that first round bye, and we want to do this for our seniors and everyone in the locker room.
John, all those penalties you took in the third period sort of disrupted your flow. You guys only had 2 shots on goal in that third period. Did you guys maybe sit back a little bit too much in the third, trying to protect it? What was a 2-0 lead?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, you need to stay disciplined. And when you're on the PK, I mean, you could be aggressive, but you're not trying to score a goal at the end of the day. So I wouldn't say we were sitting back. I just say our discipline got the best of us, so we ended up with two shots. So.
Especially a Brown team that's always been pesky. I mean, they've given you guys troubles over the years. I mean, you got, excuse me, a 3-1 win down there last month. What makes Brown such a pesky team to play against?
They have a good forecheck. I mean, any team in this league, it's going to be you need to bring your best effort or there's a chance to lose every night. And, you know, if you bring your best effort, you can always get a chance to win too. So,
Caden, how much were you guys game planning for their usual starting goalie? And then when you see the other guy in there, does that change, have any impact on your approach at all?
No, not really. I mean, we know we got to, like, every goalie in this league is good. So you're going to have to get traffic in front of them and get shots through. You know, you can't get them blocked. So, yeah, I mean, our guys just focus on burying their chances, not worried about who's in net, you know.
Speaking of traffic in front, was Brandon's goal pretty much product of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was
kind of net front scramble.
Yeah, definitely. We had good screens, so that's what generates the rebound. And, you know, guys diving down on the net, and he had a couple chances to bury it, and he got it. So that's good. It's a huge goal for us.
Now let's hear from Brown head coach Brendan Whitted on his thoughts about the game.
Brendan, it's a tough way for you guys to end your winning streak, but you guys have been playing well in the last, you know, five games. You almost were able to get some tying goal there. But how do you like your team as of right now? Because last time Union saw you, you guys were in the middle of a losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, we have our players back now, Ken. I mean, we didn't have – when we saw Union the last time, I don't believe we had Ryan St. Louis, Charlie Golub, and Hartman, who were all pretty important players up front for us. We got those guys back, and we played better hockey. We were able to spread out some of our offense and try and create two lines that had the ability to score. So I really like our team. I think we're making good strides. We're very young, so we do have some inconsistencies to our game. But there's a lot of really good players in those young classes. And again, I thought we got away a little bit from – and credit to Union. I thought we got away a little bit from our battle mentality, and they seemed to be a little stronger on pucks at times tonight. That being said, as I just said to my assistant, we go 0-for-7 on the power play. I mean,
and 0-for-5 in the third period.
Like you got to find a way to score, you know. Like we had plenty of opportunities on the power play, and our power play has been pretty good of late. And there's some pretty good players we're rolling out there. I just thought we tried to be a little too perfect on the power play.
I know you gave up 5 goals last night. What factored in the decision to start Tyler in goal tonight?
Because he gave up 5 goals last night, and he was not crisp. And honestly, he got hurt last Sunday against Stonehill. He got run over, finished the game, but really didn't practice all week. And trying to get back from a little bit of a neck injury. So he just wasn't crisp last night. I mean, obviously he's a tremendous goaltender, but I mean, there's accountability to what we got to do. Like if you go in, you know, your job is to stop the puck. And I just thought he was a little bit off last night. And Tyler's been a good goaltender. I mean, his save percentage has been pretty good. I mean, the 2 goals tonight, like, you know, the one he's got to catch on the power play, the second one there, and the first one, he kind of throws it around and can't get back into the net, you know, but I mean, again, we want our guys to perform when they're out there, and that's my expectation when the guys play.
How much did that shorthanded goal by Tinelli really get you guys going there in the third?
Oh, it definitely did, because, I mean, we were pressing, and it just didn't seem like we were getting a lot of dangerous opportunities through, you know, and that's usually been the makeup of our game where we have numbers at the net with pucks at the net, and we just seemed like a lot of stuff with perimeter. And again, I thought Union played tremendous hockey defensively. Like, they were aggressive, they were fast, they were on us very quickly, and they made it really hard on us.
It got a little penalty crazy there. How much did that kind of disrupt the flow and kind of take out of what
disrupts the flow? I mean, but you know what? Again, I think we had a lot of those power plays, so we have to, like, it's such a huge part of hockey, right? Like, you got to win the special teams game, and got to find a way to score. You know, we had opportunity after opportunity, and we had some good looks, you know, and their goalie made some big saves, and they had some good clears and some good blocks. But you know, we got to find a way to generate and score on a power play.
Can you compare your team to last year's Dartmouth, that just, you know, got hot at the right time and got to the Final Four?
I mean, it's an interesting one. Again, like I compare us to Brown, but like, we're a team that has you know, much more depth this year. We're a team that can play a little bit of a higher tempo game. We're a team that has really good goaltending and is pretty structurally sound defensively. We're young, so my hope is, yeah, like you get a taste of winning and playing the right way, and that leads you to want to win more. And how do you win? Well, you got to play the game a certain way. And you know, I think we're getting there. You know, and it's just being consistently after. But again, we had a pretty good, you know, 5-game stretch there. I mean, we're playing really good hockey. I mean, last night aside, 5-2, you got to find a way to get 3 points and not have to win in overtime. But again, it's this was a big one. Every game now is big, right? We got Yale back to back, and the standing is going to be so tight that like every game is of huge importance.
I know I asked you during the coaches' conference going back in September, but barring a postseason meeting here, your last game here at Mesa, you happy to be out of this building?
It's funny. We, you know, I played in this building, you know, when Union first joined the league. So, you know, and I might have even told you this. I got demolished so bad behind one of this net. There's no room behind these nets. And I was just an average defenseman. Somebody demolished me. I came back to the bench, and Jamie Rice, who was an assistant at Brown at the time, was laughing. He's like, how'd that feel? I'm like, not good, man. So I won't miss it that much. You know, we've had some good games here. But it's a hard place to play. It's a really small facility, you know, like, but the new rink looks great. Like we stayed last night right at the Landing, which is, I think, attached to the casino, which is a really nice hotel. And they've done a great job with that area. And it looks like the arena's coming along pretty good.
Be a lot easier to come here now. You just dump your stuff off.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. That's a nice hotel. And they've taken good care of us. We've stayed there the last two times, and we used to always stay in Albany and kind of stay there for two nights. But I don't mind being right around the corner. It'll be even better next year. I mean, we won't even have to get on a bus. So once you're there, you're there. So.
Good.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Josh, do you think Brown can make a run in Lake Placid the way that they've been playing lately? I mean, I asked this question after Saturday's game about comparing them to Dartmouth last year, because that was a team that really came on in the second half. And it appears, like I said, Brown really's got the goal scoring going, which they haven't really had in a long time.
Yeah, they got, you know, more depth than they've had. And, you know, their top players, I'd say, are younger players. So they're taking steps and starting to feel more comfortable in their role. Yeah, I think they have the ability to, you know, be in the mix. You know, I guess I would refrain to answer that until I see where they stand, you know, finish, and if we see them early in the playoffs or not.
Well, let's take a break. We'll have another Mesa Rink memory. We'll preview this weekend's ECAC Hockey Road games against Colgate and Cornell. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC Hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Hi, this is Union College women's hockey alum Ashley Kilstein-Chure. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Shaw.
The Parting Shots Podcast presents another Union Hockey Mesa Rink memory.
I'm Michelle Tardif. I played for Union College Women's Hockey from 1996 to the year 2000. My most vivid memory of playing in Mesa Rink was really all of the memories in that last season. It was our first year in the NCAA Women's Division III League, and it was just a blast every day.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm host Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union Men's Head Hockey Coach Josh Halgy. The Gardner Chargers hit the road this weekend with games at Colgate on Friday and at Cornell on Saturday. Both games start at 7 p.m. Before we talk about those teams, let's look at the pairwise rankings, which helps determine the 16-team field for the NCAA hockey tournament. Union is tied for 40th with Bowling Green and Notre Dame right now. Union has interesting records with regards to the pairwise. It is 15-0-1 against teams below them in the pairwise, but 0-9-1 against teams above them. And the two teams Union play this weekend are above them. Colgate's 21st and Cornell's 25th. What must Union do to change the narrative?
I think it's a great opportunity here for us to, you know, to play two teams that are ahead of us there. And, you know, it comes down to us, you know, and how hard we compete, how we manage the pucks. And I think we're playing some better hockey now than we did earlier in the season. So, you know, excited for this challenge.
Yeah. I think Union is probably more concerned about the ECAC hockey standings than it is the pairwise, because I think Union's only chance to get into the NCAA hockey tournament is by winning the ECAC hockey tournament title and the automatic bid. And looking at the standings right now, Union is tied for third with Dartmouth with 26 points. They trail second place Colgate by 3 points and conference leading Quinnipiac by 4. And below Union, Clarkson is in fifth with 25 points. Harvard is sixth with 22 and Cornell seventh with 21 points. So how important is it to keep your spot in the top four of the standings this weekend?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're playing two teams that are, you know, fighting for that top four spot. So it's not only an ability to add three to your total, but to take three from theirs. So it's a huge weekend, and, you know, Friday night's going to be an extremely important game.
Yeah. Colgate was picked to finish fifth by the ECAC hockey coaches in their preseason poll. Does it surprise you at where they are in the standings?
No, I think that they're, you know, they have a really nice hockey team. You know, they got a lot of, you know, solid defensemen that can really move pucks. They have a top line that's, you know, really dangerous, and they've been getting, you know, really good goaltending.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, give us a scouting report on Colgate. What do you know about them?
Yeah, they have three D that are, you know, extremely valuable for them. They play a ton of minutes. They're really talented, and then yeah, their top line is. I think they have, you know, almost 30 goals between the three of them. So. Extremely dangerous. The Chorsky kid is he's a good player. He's a big boy, and you know, we got to find his stick around the net. And then again, you know, been getting some good goaltending.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Cornell, the defending ECAC hockey tournament champion, was picked to win the regular season, but in head coach Mike Schaefer's last season at Cornell, it's been a struggle. You know, last weekend, because of suspensions and injuries, their game against St. Lawrence on last Friday night, they only had 17 skaters and two full forward lines, but they had 8 forwards and 9 defensemen dressed for that game. I mean, so how surprised are you that Cornell has struggled this year?
Well, I still think if you know, did a straw poll around the league, a lot of people would, you know, say that they're you know, a favorite to win our playoffs just because they have, you know, a ton of talent. You know, they've had some injuries and different things that have, you know, kind of set them back a little bit, but they seem to be getting healthier, and, you know, they're through their suspensions now. So I'm sure we'll be seeing a, you know, pretty close to full lineup.
Oh, can you give us a scouting report on Cornell?
I mean, you have to earn everything you get. It's an extremely difficult atmosphere to play in. They play physical and hard. They're, you know, they play in a lot of ways a really, you know, simple defensive hard game, and it's always a challenge. Yeah.
Well, speaking of, let me go back to what happened at the Dartmouth Cornell game, the post game fracas that they had a couple Saturdays ago. The league has a policy of not announcing suspensions, which I think a lot of they've taken a lot of criticism over, and rightfully so, because if you look at the other conferences, in fact, Hockey East announced a suspension last Saturday and was posted by Mike McBandy, and I sort of reposted and saying, this is the way you do it, ECAC hockey. And then we come to find out, I came talking with Dartmouth TV play-by-play announcer, and two of the Dartmouth players who had gotten games as qualifications won their appeals. So that's something, to me, you're playing a speculation game as who's getting suspended. There was rumors that Dartmouth coach Reed Cashman was suspended, and that wasn't true. So is it better? Is it time for the league to, you know, because I think some of the athletic directors believe it's going to affect these student athletes for the rest of their lives because it's going to be on Google. But that, to me, is a silly argument.
Yeah, I think it's definitely time that we, you know, take a look at it and evaluate it. I mean, it's one of those things that I think, you know, people and coaches around the league have, you know, a wide range of opinions. Mine is, let's just, you know, you're going to find out eventually if, you know, if somebody does enough digging, if they're not playing, why they're not. So let's just make it public and move on.
I can't imagine if they had the Mayor's Cup brawl now, if the suspensions would be announced. Because I remember back then in 2014, Union actually held a press conference the Monday after the game, when I know Union has announced suspensions for head coach Rick Bennett. And then the ECAC announced their suspension on that Monday, and then that's when everybody talked about it. But yeah, it just seems very silly. Can you give us a scouting? Let me have an update on Union forward Carter Corpy and his lower body injury.
Yeah, he's getting close to he was on crutches. We expect him to be off, and hopefully moving here and going again soon. So I think we're turning the corner there.
Okay. Well, we encourage listeners to send us questions, and regular listener Ryan Fay has a great question. The thing that stands out to me, this is Ryan, about these games is in the home stretch of the season, but the first time Union will play either Cornell or Colgate this year, does it create any preparation challenges when you're seeing a league opponent for the first time so late in the season?
A little bit, and just the sense of, you're actually more prepared just because you've seen them kind of progress throughout the season, and you're not really surprised by any first-year players that they might have, like the Neumeier defenseman for Colgate. Like, he's not going to catch us off guard. We know who he is, and we're prepared that he's a really good player. Sometimes earlier in the season, you might not know who those first-year players are, and they catch you off guard a little bit. But to play these two teams, twice in the last month, I don't really like that. I wish they were spread out. I like to see them once early and once late, but it's just kind of how the schedule worked out.
Yeah, I know. I talked to Doug Christensen, the ECAC hockey commissioner, about that, and I think it was last year, and he floated the idea of maybe having a rivalry weekend to close out the regular season, and we have home and homes with that. Maybe that'd be something to explore down the road, but that way you get to see everybody once before you head to for the rivalry weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this would be some pretty intense games right before playoffs, so it would be interesting.
The only problem is you wouldn't see RPI till the end of the season, unless you did a rivalry weekend to open the season. Of course, with the Ivies is kind of tough, but
yeah.
So, Ryan, thanks for the question. If you have a question for Josh, email him to Schott, that's SCHOTT at dailygazette.com, or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at Slapshots. Josh, appreciate the visit. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk after the games.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Josh Algy. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll preview the Union men's and women's hockey weekends. On the men's side, I'll have interviews with Union players Cullen Ferguson, Caden Villegas, and Brandon Burr. On women's team plays Colgate and Cornell in its final regular season games at Messer Rink, and they are hoping for one more home game in the first round of the ECAC hockey tournament. I'll have interviews with head coach Tony Macy and players Maddie Suter, Stephanie Bork, and Sophie Matsoukas. I'll speak with Union Athletic Director Jim McLaughlin on the future of Messer Rink, and the Daily Gazette staff will give their Super Bowl 59 predictions. So please tune in. By the way, I should ask you, Josh, who are you picking?
Yeah, I don't follow it like so close that I would know. I guess it's hard to not go with the Chiefs. Also, my son is in like a football pick and pool, and that's the way we tick, so I probably go with the Chiefs, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully I can rub it in your face. I know. All right, Josh, appreciate that. So please tune in to Thursday's podcast. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.